Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
United States Midwest, but fear not, we're here in Mud Toe Central Studios, tucked in very safely, and you may hear the acoustics change a bit if I should happen to duck under the covers for a moment. I think it's just a little bit too chilly in here for me. It's a warm night inside. I'm grateful to have this place to run to when things get cold and lonely on the harsh and hostile outside world. This is Mud Toe Sasquatch. You're listening to Mud Toe at Midnight on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me this evening. And just one quick bit of housekeeping to take care of before we get started. Blog Talk has made, I guess, a policy change, is what you could call it. Up until now, those of us who do regular shows on this network, I guess, have a channel, as we do here at withinsights.com, which I participate in through Chief Iggy Hoop Watcher, whose show you can listen to on Mondays at 6 o'clock. And, there are different people in our circle who have shows, including myself. And what we've always been able to do, or what Chief Iggy did for us, was he scheduled our show, had a permanent slot for our show, I guess is what you'd call it, where it's registered with Blog Talk, and Blog Talk knows when the show is and when it's going to happen the same time each week. And I guess what's happened is, I've heard two stories. One of them is that people have been abusing this. They've put on or registered for shows at certain very busy times and then not done the show for whatever reason, whether they're trying to crowd somebody else out or you never know what, for reasons of competition, they took a very desirable slot and then just never used it. The other thing I've heard is that it's all about listings on the various search engines, Google and so forth, that it's easier for people to find individual shows. They don't have this continuous, what do you call it, this continuous allocation. Yeah, of a certain time slot. But whichever of these is the case, we're not going to have our automatic show. What we'll have to do is we have to get on Blog Talk and register the show each week ourselves. So I'm going to have to learn how to do that. And the only reason I tell you, and I've already invested too much time in this, but the only reason I tell you is if Mud Toe, first of all, please forgive me if Mud Toe Sasquatch drops off the face of the earth for a week while I'm trying to figure this out. I mean, I hope I get it all together. I'm going to sit down with Chief Iggy next week and make sure I know how to do this. Second, I'm not at all sure how it affects the way you find yourself to me every week, or if it's just 1 week, or if, you know, this is your first time. I don't know whether it was through a search engine or through a link on somebody's Facebook. I don't know how it's affected by this change. I wish I could tell you. I honestly don't know. I would certainly hope that if you're going to blogtalk.com and searching for Mud Toad Sasquatch or Mud Toad Midnight, that it would still come up. I'm hoping that's the case. And I'm really hoping that you don't have to look harder for me, because I certainly don't want to make it more difficult for people to find me, especially since it's not me that's doing it, it's Blog Talk. So I'm hoping there isn't going to be any frustration from your end. If there is, I apologize, even though I'm not doing it. And I hope that you will take the extra trouble. Hopefully it will be temporary. That you will take the extra trouble to find that new pathway to me. I do appreciate everyone who listens to the program. So, yeah, please be assured that that's the case and that I'm not doing this just to frustrate you. Because, once more, I didn't do it. Okay, so there's that. Let's see. This is going to be one of those kind of whiny shows. I apologize. But the fact is, I missed my therapy this week because I had to have a root canal. That's not even what I want to whine about, but I will if we have a little time. I don't really have to whine about the root canal. It wasn't that. I didn't know everybody says root canal, ooh, root canal. And I have been using that to my advantage since I had that. And I said, ooh, root canal. Oh, no, you have a root canal. Get my little extra sympathy there. But truthfully, I didn't find it any worse, any more taxing than having a filling. It wasn't pleasant. Can't say it was a pleasant experience, but I can't say it was like the worst thing that ever happened to me either. Again, I want to get into that a little bit more if we have time at the end of the show. I have something else that's on my mind, and it starts with the elections on Tuesday. For those of you listening from overseas here in the States, we had our national elections on Tuesday. I think it's fair to say the elections didn't come out the way most of my friends would have liked them to. My sort of new agey, love and light kind of friends were hoping for a result that validated the present administration, that being the Obama administration. And the Democratic Party, which he's a member of. Sorry, you guys probably know all of this. I'm trying to sort of bring along, because I know I have people listening who aren't from the States. And I try not to assume knowledge that you would know anything about what's up here or would even care. Then sometimes I do that, and then I find out that everybody I'm talking to already knows everything I'm saying. Yeah, we know. Get to the point. So anyway, it's the issues. I'd say, and I need to be very careful about this for reasons that will become evident shortly. Many of my friends were and are very passionate about the issues that were supposedly being contested in the election. So I don't believe those were the issues that really were being contested. This is a difference that's going to that was problematic in some cases. There's a lot of anger that the Republicans won the election. So a lot of fear that the Republicans are going to come in and change a lot of things that are important to my friends and to me. The so-called Obamacare health system, I wouldn't have health insurance. I wouldn't have been able to get my root canal this week if I didn't have that. And the fear is that the Republicans are going to work to repeal that or at least restrict it. And it was an expansion of Medicaid that allowed me to get health insurance. Otherwise, I wouldn't have qualified and I wouldn't have it. And I would be dependent on my parents or whatever when something came up that I needed money for. And a root canal is not cheap. Runs about $1,000 all in. My health insurance covered it, and I'm not at all ashamed to claim that benefit as my own, because I worked, paid into the system many, many years, and I don't have any qualms about taking that assistance now. And again, it would be, at the very least, inconvenient if I were to lose that insurance, if it were to be taken away. So many of my friends, again, were upset at the results. They were upset at me because I chose not to vote. And now there are, of course, different degrees of this being upsetness. Some of them are ranging from, oh man, why didn't you vote, to it's your fault. It's your fault that Obama and the Democrats lost. If you had voted, it would have been different. People like you, you know, that sort of pointing the finger, that sort of thing that enlightened people aren't supposed to do. And yet, everyone does it. When we're disappointed, when we're upset, when we're angry, when we're frightened, we look for someone to blame. We can't understand how this could happen. How could people turn on Obamacare? How could people turn on marriage equality? How could people turn on, you know, these issues that are very important to me and to my friend? It's not a matter of turning on those issues. I didn't feel that either of the parties running in the election fairly represented my views on those issues. My friends want to give the Democrats credit for the progress that's been made in health care. I'm not at all certain they deserve that. And for they certainly don't deserve the credit for the progress on marriage equality, because most of that progress has been made in the courts. But these are not things that people want to hear on a day when they're licking their wounds and when the people that they despise are about to assume positions of power. And there's fear and there's anger. The only thing I would say in response, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But the thing I would say is there have been, I don't know, at least the Republicans have had at least 3 or 4 turns at the head of the wheelhouse since the 1960s, when the civil rights legislation was first passed. And the civil rights legislation hasn't gone away. I mean, that was the theory once the Republicans took over, that all the progress that had been made in the civil rights was going to be reversed. And perhaps there was some backtracking on local levels, but most of what's done has survived intact. Now, that's not to say that all the work that needs to be done has been done. Of course not. But the fear that once the Democrats' current turn on the board had ended, that somehow all the progress that had been made in civil rights was going to go away, that fear was not realized. That didn't happen. So I'm thinking, while there might be some changes to health care, I think it's going to go away. I think people are, by and large, are happy to be able to have health insurance, and have been dismayed by the spiraling cost. And I don't think the solution that's been attempted is a good one at all. It's not sustainable. It's going to have major changes to it. It's going to survive. I didn't feel that it was incumbent upon me to give my support to something because it was better than nothing. It is better than nothing. Does that mean I go out there and run out there and bless it with my vote? Now, what I'm working up to here, is there were some of my friends who didn't necessarily agree with me, but they supported my decision to not vote. There's some that were upset with me because they thought that they viewed not voting as apathetic, and that apathy is what cost them this election. I would counter that my action was not apathetic at all. I am not disengaged. I'm not uninvolved. I just chose not to vote. And by far the majority of those friends accepted that explanation. And we're still friends. And I think that reasonable people can agree to disagree. I'm happy to. And I love all my friends, the ones who disagree with me. Especially the ones who disagree with me, although I don't love anyone more than anyone else, but it's great to have people who disagree with you as friends, because it keeps you sharper. So I treasure those friendships with people who disagree, with whom I disagree. Yeah, I have a number of friends, most of the same. Most of my friends are New Agey, love and light kind of people, but some of them are those very very Republicans that the majority of my friends fear and loathe so much. And they're fine people I love, and people with whom I agree on many things. I'd say I probably share 90% of financial philosophy with Republicans, much more than Democrats. Now, I can't stomach the Republican social agenda than many Republicans also can't. It's this weird thing. In order to build a sort of ruling coalition, the fiscal conservatives to form this uneasy alliance with social conservatives. And often the agendas are wildly divergent. And the sort of ideas of social engineering, social control, who rules, sort of Nietzschean ideal. Who gets to decide who gets married, and who is it who gets to decide who has health insurance, and so on and so forth. That doesn't meet neatly with the idea of doing the best you can with not sort of an uncontrolled investment of resources. We have this amount of resources. How do we best invest them? Idea of strange bedfellows and all that. It's just the economic conservatives should have to take on the social conservatives, take them in order to form a a large enough block, voting block, that they can take power and govern. I think that many of the financial conservatives would love to jettison the social conservatives once they get into power, and that's often what you see happen. You know, moral majority in those cases thought they were coming into Washington taking over and found that that wasn't quite the case. But anyway, what I'm driving to driving at with this long sort of dissertation is I had a friend who simply would not agree to disagree, chastised me very broadly for not having voted in the election, blamed me and people like me, and I was very hurt by this, and I tried to express my hurt without naming names by putting up a prayer on Facebook saying how I was feeling, stating that I felt wronged by certain friends for the reasons I've described earlier, and offering my forgiveness. I think that last thing might have been what may have done it, knowing this person the way I do. She was someone I had a relationship with. I dated her, was intimate with her at one time. We decided not to continue that relationship. I guess I decided more than she did. This has been years ago. I was concerned. I guess I can say it now. I doubt that she's listening. I was concerned because she had been in an earlier relationship, and I'd felt from things that she'd said and written that she was still carrying a torch for this guy. And I didn't want to put a lot of emotional capital into a relationship and then have her. My feeling was that if he called, she would have gone back to him. And I wasn't going to set myself up for that kind of heartache. And I told her that, and she understood, and we parted on good terms. We stayed friends. I watched as she tried to make her dreams come true. And she struggled. She moved out of state to the South to try and find more opportunities. That didn't work out. She came back to our chilly state in the Midwest and had very recently found something that really appealed to her. Was very happy, posting her progress constantly. I was happy to hear that things were going well for her. And just blindsided by this sudden display of rigidity on her part. Because, you know, she cut her ties with me. I got the dreaded unfriend, which I get from time to time when I post a strong opinion. And as I say, I think the idea of my forgiving her may have struck the wrong chord. But it was genuine. I felt that I had been wronged. And the enlightened thing to do in the face of having been wronged is to offer forgiveness. Perhaps I should have offered friendship. Maybe that would have been better received. But on the other hand, you know, I found out where this person was coming from. And maybe it's not a place it's not a relationship that I want to embrace. If one can be that stony and inflexible, especially when one presents oneself as a free spirit. Evidently, she's looking for that are free on her terms. Probably not fair for me to make that observation, but hey, I just made it. What are you going to do? It's my show. Former lovers are not exempt from my scorn, especially after you've hurt my feelings. So I really could have used my therapy this week. It would have taken up the whole hour easily. What I ended up doing instead was been having some pain, some tooth pain for a long time, been neglecting it. It actually goes back for months. You know, I just take a few ibuprofen and then, you know, wait for it to subside. And it would subside, then it'd come back. And you know, it reached a point where it wasn't going away anymore, and I was taking just handfuls of ibuprofen. And it wasn't making a dent in the pain. So I went to the university dental clinic one morning and showed my Medicaid card. And they were happy to set me up with a couple of third-year dental students. That's how they get their practice, is practicing on people with Medicaid. Get us all set up. Anyway, they looked at me and determined that I was in need of a root canal on my tooth number 19. And I guess what I was told was, they showed me on some nifty x-rays, which they can show you right on their computer screen now. I hadn't seen that since I haven't been to the dentist for many, many years. And they showed me where there was sort of a dead area inside my tooth, and that some infection had started there and had built up underneath the gum line in my tooth, and it was just, that's what was causing all of my discomfort. So they sent me upstairs. Actually, I had a resident, an actual dentist, did the root canal. And boy, he was amazing, because I couldn't see what he was doing, but I could watch the instruments come in and out. And well, he just switched those instruments so quickly, so deftly. Little drill and whatever he's doing, and suction there with the other hand, he'd switch out and he'd switch out the other instruments. And it was fun to watch, because each time a new instrument would be introduced, okay, I haven't seen that yet, that meant we were moving along in the process. You know, we're closer, that much closer to being done. And I was very concerned how I would tolerate it, because again, I never tolerated dental procedures well, and I haven't gone to the dentist in over 10 years because of that. Turns out I did. I only had to stop once. And it's all about, you know, the water collecting in the back of my throat. It's just a matter of relaxing and convincing myself that I wasn't going to choke, that my nose was working perfectly well, and I could breathe just fine. And I came through it, just relaxed, and was very proud of myself for making it through that process, especially in all the emotional pain I was over having been rejected by my friend. But anyway, we have come to the end of our 30 minutes together. I hope I will be here next week. I can work out what the new procedures from Mark Talk. Please look for me and join me again. And I will be happy to talk to you, and have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.